Series entitled Proverbs, Wisdom for the Whole of Life. And over the next few weeks, with a couple of pauses for a Mission Sunday and Pentecost in a few weeks' time, we're going to be taking a look at the book of Proverbs and thinking about just some of the themes we find there. Now, if you've no idea where Proverbs is, it's found in the middle of the Old Testament. And it's part of a group of books that have, I suppose, over time have been traditionally come to be known as the wisdom literature. Today we'll have a little bit of an introduction to the book as a whole, and then we'll take a look at the opening verses. But before we get to that, this is where I need the mic, because we're going to kick off today by asking if anybody knows any Proverbs.
Oh, I haven't switched it on.
Can't get the staff these days. So does anybody know any proverb? Okay, Steve knows a proverb. Now we can share one.
No.
This isn't going well so far.
One, two, on. We'll one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. One, two, 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 two.
There we go.
Go to the ant, you sluggard, and be wise.
Thank you.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on what you think you know. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will show you the right way to go.
Okay. Anyone else? Any other problems? Oh, there's one right, okay, all the way round. Get me exercise.
A green yule makes a fat kirk yard.
Sorry, hang on a minute. Could you say that again, please, William?
A green yule makes a fat kirk yard.
Okay. Could you explain that?
It's an old saying that when you have a mild winter before church, before Christmas, people get sick a lot. So the churchyard fills up with bodies.
Thank you.
Comes from the Diary of an Edwardian Lady.
Okay, Diary of an Edwardian Lady. There we go.
If a man digs a pit, he will surely fall into it. And if a man pushes a boulder up a hill, it will surely roll onto him.
Thank you. There's one.
A man that is diligent in his work will stand before kings and not mean men.
Brilliant. Thank you. There's one over there.
Grey hair is a crown of splendour.
Excellent. Woohoo! Many crowns. All the way around. We know a lot of proverbs. This is good. Okay.
Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Laura, there we are.
Does it have to be from the Book of Proverbs?
No.
Well, I'll give you a Scottish one. Then he cast a clout to me, zoot. Which basically means, don't take your clothes off until we've got to May.
Oh, don't cast a clout before May is out. Yeah, but I'm from South East London, so it's clout. Can understand that one. So there was me kind of we had some interesting one there. I was expecting maybe something like I don't know, don't count your chickens before they hatch, or better safe than sorry, that kind of thing. I had a whole long list. Beggars can't be choosers. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Too many cooks spoil the broth. Yeah. Birds of a feather flock together. All those kinds of things. Sorry. A stitch in time saves nine. Not in my house. I tend to have to do a lot of stitching anyway. But, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it. So lots of different things there. I think they are part of our culture. And sometimes, the southeastern way, don't cast a clout before May is out. We understand what it means, but trying to explain what it means is a little bit more, you know, you have to think about explaining the proverb. It's quite an interesting thing. I wonder if thinking about actually what a proverb is, what exactly is it? So I had a look and I came up with a few definitions. I'll confess I don't know who these people are particularly, but apparently this chap said it is a proverb is a short sentence of wisdom. They're not supposed to come up at the same time. The wit of one and the wisdom of many, which I thought was quite good, and then short sentences drawn from long experience. So they kind of sound like proverbs in themselves. That's what made me laugh. I suppose a proverb is what you might term popular wisdom. It offers advice, it might offer teaching or to make a point. And they're kind of metaphorical or symbolic, or they use an analogy to refer to whatever situation they're thinking about. Now, as a kid, I loved Proverbs. Not all the cards. I mean, some of them we heard from Proverbs itself, because the book of Proverbs, let me call that up, book of Proverbs. It might be a strange thing for a small child to really like Proverbs, but basically my parents gave me this version of the Good News Bible, and it has an elastic band around it because the spine's falling off because I've worn it out, and it's full of beautiful stickers that apparently I, as a small child, particularly liked. And I had to, and my parents were kind of like, were very involved in church, and I went along to a lot of different events with them, that I will confess that as a child, I wasn't that particularly enamored by. They didn't really kind of hold my interest, especially if I got dragged along to evening services and they had long sermons and all the rest of it. But I took my Bible with me. I was an avid reader, and that was the one I had, the thing I had to, parents wouldn't let me take a novel, I had to take the Bible. So I was kind of stuck. And I was drawn to Proverbs, interestingly, not because back then I was searching for any kind of wisdom, though I probably could have done with some. No, I was drawn to the illustrations. The ones across the top of the different pages, these little line drawings with a little reference underneath. Here's a closer look. Now, it is interesting, the very first proverb we heard from Steve was the one I'm going to reference. It's the one at the top. Basically, I would look up all the different references and see if it matched the proverb really well. I'm not a great art critic at sort of age 11 going, well, I don't think it's very good, is it? That's brilliant. So here, the proverb 6:6. Because he talks about ants and sluggards. Well, this one is lazy people should learn a lesson from the way ants live. Which is kind of what you said, but, and that's kind of like the analogy bit, because you've got to know how ants live before you can work out why lazy people should take a lesson from them. So basically, with an apology to all the preachers back then, I used to work my way through the book of Proverbs and pick out these pictures and read the relevant Proverbs that went with them. Now, I didn't know who'd drawn them. I suddenly thought, well, I wonder who was the illustrator of all these things. And I looked up, and apparently it's a lady named Annie Valaton. So thank you to this lovely lady for keeping me engaged and kind of awakening a fascination with Proverbs back then. And that's led me to thinking, why have I chosen Proverbs for this series? Not because I want us to be finding ourselves a Good News Bible and searching for the pictures, though you can do, I'm not knocking it, but because the book has a wealth of wisdom. And despite it being written long time ago, we'd be mindful to take note of what we find there. Now, if we're still trying to understand exactly what a proverb is, it helps if we go to perhaps have a little look at the Hebrew, and the Hebrew word proverb comes from the word proverb comes from the Hebrew word mashal, which means a short, pithy saying that's easy to remember. And the same word has kind of the inference of to rule, so it would be a short sentence that we can use to govern our lives. So what we find here in Proverbs is more than just a bit of cultural advice. It's God's word, and it's given to us to teach us wisdom. And the Hebrew word again for that is chokmah, which at the basic level means the skill of living. So it's the skill of living with wisdom, that with this sense of things to govern our lives, but with wisdom. And basically, the idea is that not living how the world would have us live, which is, I suppose, for ourselves or for pursuit of things or stuff or money or for family. It's about living for God, living the way that He designed us to live. So taking a few weeks to consider the wisdom God provides in this book seems like a pretty good idea, especially as it picks up our verse of the year, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And at this point, I've realised way back at the beginning of January, we gave out some cards with these verses on, and I've still got a few. So if you didn't get one and you still would like one, do come and have a word with me after. I think I've still got them in my laptop bag that I've got with me today. If not, I'll make sure I get one to you. But just to have that up and remember that this is what we're focusing on as a congregation over the year, as a church family, to kind of think about how God's word can light our paths and direct us. And engaging with God's wisdom is just one way that we can enlighten our path with God's word. I mean, particularly as, I would say, we have a wealth of information at our fingertips. We have how-to guides and self-help books. There are internet articles. There's the media. There's even people go to things like TikTok to find out how to do things. And I did a quick search on Amazon. I literally looked up the word self-help. And more than 200,000 responses, which is quite a lot. On every subject you can imagine, I didn't go through them all. I would have been there for days. Everything from how to do relationships, how to manage your money, how to look after your children, all sorts. And the fact that so many are available just in that one little place, Amazon's massive, but that one place, without looking anywhere else, I think says quite a lot to culture's kind of collective lack of wisdom about life, that they need sort of someone else to feed into it. Alternatively, how confusing life is. So much so that we need to reach out to someone else for help. And clearly, in all those 200,000 books and all the rest of it, and articles, there is some really useful advice and support out there. But we'd be mindful to remember that quite a lot is not that useful, and quite a lot is not focused on how we can live life well as people of faith. You see, because the thing is, before any of those books were written, any of those articles created, God had already thought that we might need a bit of help to navigate life. And that's why we have his word. You know, he gave us his word to help us navigate all the situations that we face as individuals, but also together, how we can support one another with that. I mean, specifically in the book of Proverbs, God reminds us that we're not left alone to fend for ourselves, that we are to start our search for wisdom in relationship with God. And if we're willing to engage with what we find in God's word, there we'll find the wisdom that will help to shape us and guide us and lead us in life. But Proverbs isn't just one other self-help book on a shelf that's really long. It was compiled with a particular purpose in mind. It was to teach wisdom, it's to form character, and to encourage us in a relationship with God that finds its roots in obediently following him and his ways. But we'll come to the first seven verses in a bit, but first we're going to have a look at the book as a whole. And if you've got a few minutes this week, I would encourage you to take a look at the rather brilliant overview that's been put together by the Bible Project. The link on the screen is there, but don't worry, I will send it out via the email. So if you do get our church emails, then you will get, hopefully, you'll get this link. So it'll be much easier to just click on it, and hopefully it'll pop up on your whatever system you're watching it. But I nearly just made us watch it this morning, but it was 8 minutes long, and I thought, let's not watch it. I'm going to send you with some homework, basically. They do a brilliant summary, and it's just the way they present it with a little bit of cartoon. It's just really engaging, and they do all the other books as well. So if you like that, just have a look up on their YouTube channel. They've got all sorts of, you know, all the books of the Bible. So it's a really good resource. But I'll just share a brief summary rather than the in-depth thing that they go into. So let's have a look. No, where did my list go? I had a list. Anyway, might turn up later. A brief summary. So it's a collection of writings. It's written by a man called Solomon and a couple of other folk. Solomon was the son of King David, of Psalms fame. And after David's death, Solomon became king and 1 Chronicles. There it is. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. I don't know where it went. Anyway, so that's what the book looks like, anyway, if you break it up into sections. So basically, 1 Chronicles tells us that God was with King Solomon and made him exceedingly great. And when I read that, it just made me think about The Cakes by Kipling, that old advert. I thought, oh, great. But fairly on in his reign, we find that God appears to Solomon and says this. He says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now, Solomon could have asked for many different things. He could have asked for money or power or things to go well for him. But already showing a degree of wisdom, we're told that Solomon asks for wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? That's still not where I was. I thought I'd add the verse up as well, but never mind. So it's Solomon, I don't want that one yet. We'll come back to that in a minute. So it's basically, Solomon asks for wisdom and knowledge, and then God says, brilliant. I'm going to give you wisdom, but because you didn't ask for all the other stuff, you're going to get that as well. So Solomon was clearly very wise to begin with. So he basically says, since this is your heart's design, you've not asked for wealth or possessions or honour, nor for the death of your enemies, which would be a weird thing to ask for, but there we go. But since you've not asked for a long life, but wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I've made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And I will also give you wealth, possession and honour, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. So the vast majority of Proverbs is taken up with Solomon's writings. And because he is one who is known for being granted wisdom and knowledge by God, it's wisdom worth taking note of. So there we go. The book as a whole, that's what, if it had a contents list, that is what it would be looking like. And basically, the book opens with the title of the book and an introduction, which gives us the first principle of wisdom. And what's, you might be saying, what on earth is the first principle of wisdom? We will come to that. We're nearly there. That intro of the book is then followed by a series of speeches addressed to a young man, encouraging him to pursue wisdom. And these are followed by several chapters of Proverbs by Solomon, at least associated with him. And then we have a couple of bits with the sayings of a couple of other people, a chap called Agur and another called King Lemuel. And then the book concludes with a focus on a woman who is living wisely. And that's where we'll end up in a few weeks' time. But now let's get to the introduction of Proverbs. So I'm going to read the first that introduction, the first seven verses. So if you want to follow on, that's fine. And to summarize, this is just the introduction to the book. So it says this: the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I think it's really helpful that the book actually tells us what its intended purpose is. It's there to provide us with wisdom and understanding, to give direction and guidance. If we consider ourselves wise, I'm not sure if anybody here does, they might be, you might be sitting there thinking, I feel very wise today. I don't know, there might be. There is something here to add to our wisdom that we already have. And if you consider yourself, if you're sitting there, I've got no wisdom at all, or not very much, there is wisdom here that you can find. There are things that we can learn to help us with that. But this first principle of wisdom, did you spot it? It's found right at the end in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And basically, the fear of the Lord is a motto that underpins an awful lot of the book of Proverbs. And as you read through the book, you will see it come up time and time again. But the writer's intention of using that phrase, it's an interesting phrase to say the fear of the Lord. He doesn't mean that we are to be terrified of God, but it's a reverent obedience to him. And that fear of the Lord, we're told, is that the fool despises this, it rejects it. They're seen as a know-it-all, someone who's closed to anything new, resents anyone telling them what to do or how to do it, and refuses to learn from anyone else. But to subject oneself to instruction from someone else, to acknowledge that a higher authority beyond ourselves has more knowledge than us, is really sensible. And for us as people of faith, our higher authority is, of course, God. After all, only God knows it all anyway. So we come first to God's word for wisdom, but we also need to be people who are open to others who are walking in the ways of faith. We need to be open to the wisdom that they can speak into our lives, especially those who know us well. And they can give us valuable insight and advice, but we can only really truly do that for others when we have spent time with God's word ourselves. So basically, if Proverbs is concerned with encouraging God's people to live wisely in the world that he's provided for us, And that kind of wisdom finds its origin in a relationship and a deep reverence for God, rather than being in wise to our own opinion or the opinion of the society in which we find ourselves. They're unreliable, but God is not. And if we start first and put have our foundation with God and in our relationship with him, it shapes everything about our lives. It will shape the decisions that we make in life. It will shape the prayers that we pray. It will shape whatever we do in life in terms of what lies at the heart of who we are and what we do. But the good thing is, thankfully, wisdom can be learned. And we are encouraged to use our minds as we live out our lives of faith. Now, while we can find guidance in the many different self-help books and articles that are available to us, the thing about Proverbs and the thing about Scripture is its emphasis on us living in an obedient relationship with God first and foremost. You see, the world gives us advice that points us perhaps to leading a happy or a successful life. But the idea of what is happy or what is successful is fairly subjective. My idea of happy might be very different to your idea of happy. And the same goes for success. But in Scripture, we find that we are to live as people of faith in a way that brings God honour first and foremost. It's not about us, it's about him. It's not about, studying Proverbs is not about developing a good moral character, if you like, as an end of itself, but that we live in such a way that all that we do is honouring to God. It's about having a knowledge of him and his ways that is full of awe and reverence. And the thing is, the more we learn in God's word, the more wise we can become. And actually, the interesting thing about it is the more we see how great our need for God is. And I guess the wisdom of the world points us in a bit of an opposite direction. It points us to finding fulfillment in ourselves and rejecting God entirely. All the things that Solomon wrote about and the other writers that are practical suggestions in this book for everyday living, and they are insights that find their roots in lived experience. And I hope that as we unpack this over the next coming weeks, we'll find things that direct us more and more towards trusting in God and having a fulfilled life that is honouring to him. So I wonder, what relevance is it particularly to us today? What is there something that you might need wisdom for today? Have you got a decision to make about a life choice, a job or a career move or studying or something? What about a family decision about what perhaps to do with a particular relationship or in a particular circumstance you're dealing with? Or a personal dilemma about what the right thing to do is? I guess the first thing we need to think about if we've got a decision to make is, what will our decision do? Will it bring honour to God or not? What is it that God's asking us to do rather than what we want to do? Now, I'm not saying those decisions are easy to make. Some of them will be really difficult and challenging, but if we start by seeking God first, that's the right place to begin. So if you're feeling in need of some wisdom today, first of all, I suggest seek God. Seek guidance from his word, and then seek advice from godly people. We need to have God's wisdom to make godly choices in life. God wants us to use his word for that. In the New Testament, the book of James picks up this theme of wisdom, and he says there, he writes this in his letter, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So are we asking God for wisdom first and foremost, or are we seeking it elsewhere? See, I was thinking about how we spend our time in our weeks. We've got 168 hours in our week, and if we're here on a Sunday morning, we might spend an hour and a half together, of which maybe 30, 40 minutes, depends how long I speak for, anyone up the front speaks for, is unpacking scripture. We might attend a small group in the week, in which case maybe that's another hour and a half. I'm being probably reasonably generous, thinking with others about God's word. We might spend a portion of the day ourselves in personal study, maybe 15 minutes, maybe half an hour. So I total that up, that's about 6 hours, which leaves 162 left. Now, I know we need to sleep and eat and work, paid or unpaid, but if we're really honest, what's the balance of how we spend the rest of our time? Is it with seeking advice and things from social media or TV or books or other written material? Or is it God's word? Are we allowing the world to speak into our lives or God's word? See, if we want to live lives directed by God's wisdom, then we need to be intentional about seeking out that source of wisdom over and above what the world offers. The world has wisdom, I'm not denying that, but not all of it is God's wisdom. And we need to be people who can identify the difference. And the only way we can do that is by spending time with it. And I recently came across a little story about a young man who wanted to learn about the jade. So this man went to a talented jade master who chose a green stone from the shelf in his room, and he gave it to the young man, and he told him, hold it tight. So the young man took the stone and he sat down and he held it. And then the jade master began to talk about his life. And after a while, he took the stone back from the young man and he sent him home. And he told him to come back the next day. The young man returned the next day, and again he was given a green stone from the shelf, and the jade master told him to hold it, and he did. And then the jade master the next day talked about the wonders of nature. And he sent he took the stone from the young man and sent him home and told him to come back the next day. And it went on for some time, and each time the man held the stone, and each time the jade master spoke about a different subject. And this, not surprisingly, frustrated the young man. And after all, he'd come to learn about jade. So finally, one day, he protested, saying, I want to learn about jade, not all this other stuff. I didn't come here to learn all that. So the jade master listened and asked him to sit as usual. And going over to the shelf, he chooses a stone and passes it to the young man. And the young man immediately says, this is not jade. He'd spent all that time and he learnt about the stone. And he spent time, we might even talk about all other things, but for us, spending time with God's word enables us to identify God's wisdom when we come to all the plethora of wisdom that the world offers. And we can identify what is godly wisdom and what is not. But it takes time and it requires us to be disciplined and intentional in a world that is so full of distractions. But remember that the writer of the Proverbs is clear about those who choose to ignore the instruction that God provides. They're considered foolish. So as we begin this exploration of Proverbs, we start by recognizing that our wisdom finds its beginning and end in God. All that we find here is in Scripture is intended to lead us to an awe-filled knowledge of God. So I wonder, but we've got a few weeks over which this series is going. I wonder if we could make a commitment to reading through the book of Proverbs. I don't know if anybody has ever read it through to its end. It might have been if you've read one of those Bible in 1 year, you might have read it, but maybe not for a while. You could try a chapter a day. I calculated 50 days that this series lasts for. There are only 31 chapters, so you can have a few days off if you want. You could choose to read a section of it. The main bit of Proverbs which Solomon focuses on is between Proverbs 10 to 29. And I'll send out when I send out a link to the video, I'll send out a reading plan for that. If you're kind of like, that's far too much for me, I don't want to be doing that, just take some time to dip into Proverbs. And if you do have a Good News Bible, you could always operate the same time. You could play match the picture with the proverb, because that's just, you know, why not? Let's be creative about how we engage with God's word. But as you're doing that, whether you do the whole overview, whether you do the section in the middle, whether you just dip in, if a proverb stands out to you, just take some time to consider what God might be saying to you through that. So basically, what we need to do is we consider this book together over these coming weeks. We need to remember that wisdom, the wisdom that we find from God, that we really want to integrate into our lives, it unites our beliefs with our actions. It has a consequence that when we know God's wisdom, then it links through to what we do and how we act. So we need to be making a conscious effort to live wisely in God's world and make his word the foundation of all that we do. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you care so deeply for us, that you have given us something to hold on to, something we can engage with, something we can read and hear from you. We long to live lives that are shaped by your instruction. So as we explore your word, particularly this book of Proverbs over these next few weeks, help us to draw closer to you, that we might more clearly recognize true wisdom when we find it. So we come to you this day, as your word promises, we ask in faith that you will give us wisdom in all the decisions that we need to make. Lord, give us your guidance and show us your ways. Amen.